Margaret Boatland, Reel 5. Yes, this lady sounds as if she played a very important role.
She did. I don't know how we'd have got on. And Miss Baker was her backup, of course.
And what was her name again?
Mrs. Mansfield. She was an army schoolmistress. Mrs. P. Mansfield, it is.
They seem to have been sort of in control of you all,
yes,
is that right?
Were. Yes. You see, they'd no children to worry about. They could go ahead and organise things, and we'd have been sadly in trouble without them.
How about the Sikhs? Were they important as well? The two Sikhs that accompanied
you?
Yes,
I can tell you about that. It's a different story. They were very good-natured with Ian and the other children, and the children would hang back and talk to them, and because most children could speak a little Hindi. And Ian was very close. They used to walk with them, just like a soldier. But when we got to Tamu, the Indian border...
Tamu?
When we got to... We passed it. We got to Tamu, and we were... When we got to the Indian border, they had to stay behind because they were only to escort us to the Indian border. And I can see them now. They stepped back and saluted us all and then marched away. They went back to Mandalay. And when they got back to Mandalay, it's another story really, they ran into Japanese hands. It had been overtaken and they were beheaded. And that was all in the story of an English woman who married a Burman solicitor or lawyer, I don't know. Quite a wealthy family. She'd met him as a student in London. She was a student. And until the war broke out, she was very, very happy. She loved her Burmese in-laws very much. And they took her to the Mandalay Pagoda for sanctuary. They said she wasn't safe. And they gave a huge sum of money to the head, what's the name of them?
Well, one of the tribes, would it
no,
be?
No, the head man at the pagoda.
The priest, the Buddhist, yes.
Yes.
The Buddhist priest.
The head Pungi.
Yes.
The head Pungi. And they gave this sum of money and said that they would come and collect her when all was well, or her husband would. And she said she was very happy up there. She taught English to the Burmese children. There must have been hundreds up there in the temple. And she said she could speak Burmese, and she had a very happy time.
What was her name?
All I know is Rose. There is a book in the library. I got it from Wakefield Library years after, when I was living in Wakefield.
Right.
And I saw, I think it was Rose of Burma or something like that. So I thought, ooh, this should be interesting. And I got it and I was fascinated by it.
But I'm fascinated by your story, so we must get back to you.
No,
because
yes.
This would be, you're now in Bengal.
Yes.
Yes.
We crossed over and we travelled through the night. Mrs. Mansfield refused the dirty carriages. They brought us clean ones, and the floor was clean. So we had a separate toilet for our use. And we rode into Calcutta early next morning.
So that you rode into Calcutta. This would have been
night.
About May 1942, would it?
No, it was. We left on the left Mamia on the 28th of February, and I think it was about the 27th of March when we arrived in Calcutta.
Yes, because as you say, you were one of the early groups,
yes,
weren't you?
Yes.
Yes. So what happened to you at Calcutta? And I expect you were very worried about your husband, weren't you?
Worried, sick, yes. Yes, every night we talked about it.
Did you have any news at all of what was happening?
None at all. And we just prayed that they would be all right. Well, I didn't know my husband had been badly wounded too. But there you are, it's another story. When we arrived in Calcutta early on the morning, there was the army on the platform to greet us. And they'd come, these officials, from the Fort William in Calcutta, which was an army base. And they organised breakfast for us at the station refreshment room. And then we were taken to Fort William in buses. And interviewed. And to our amazement, one of our close friends, Molly Birch, was there. Her little girl had been put into hospital with dysentery. And she was there to greet us. And it was heaven sent that she was there. She could bring us up to date with all the news of the battalion we'd left behind in Namio. Because she'd flown out. And she'd been, I forget now how long, she'd been there in Port William. The family she came out with, they'd all gone to hill stations, Murray and Dakshai and places like that. But she had to stay behind because the child was in hospital. And she said every day there were inquiries about where were the walking party. They'd lost all trace of you. But she's finally, a wireless message came from the Indian border to say that you'd all turned up and you were on your way. So she said it stop them worrying anymore.
So what happened to you in India then? What was your sort of life there until, you know, you were reunited with your husband?
We were in Fort William for almost a week. Then Anne was brought out of hospital. She was only two. And Molly was attached to our party, to our request. And we all went by train from Calcutta to a hill station. Subartum.
How do you spell that? Subartum?
S-U-B-A-T-H-U. Subartum, some call it.
Is that in Bengal?
That's in the Simla Hills. We had to travel, I don't know how long it took us, overnight through to, what was it? Calcutta. Excuse me. To Calcutta. And then we had to go by a bus up the hill, Simla Hills, to Subartu, where everything was ready for us. Luft and I shared a quarter, and Molly and Mrs. Butler would share the quarter. There wasn't room for everyone to have their own place. And we were given one quarter, then transferred to a better one. There was three ladies from Singapore. One was an elderly lady, Mrs. Crawford. She'd been a rubber plantation owner in Singapore, and she was only got out on the last boat, and she'd two daughters with her. One was both married, one was a nurse, and I forget what the other one was. Both nurses, I think. And the three of them were given this quarter, but they decided they'd no money and they couldn't stay up in the hills. And they could get a job on the plains. So I'm getting muddled. No, I'm wrong. I'm wrong. You can't delete that, can you? But, Mrs...
Well, it's really your situation we're interested in.
Yes.
You know, what happened to you? Were you up there for long in at the hill station?
A year. Yeah. And...
Did you know about your husband during that time?
No, I was worried, and I went to see the station commander and asked him if he could find me any news at all. And he said, I've rung Simla a few times, but I can't get any answers. So, and then this night, Lot and I, we had a big bedroom with a table and oil lamp between us. And I'd gone to bed really downhearted. I couldn't eat any supper. I was choked. And I started dreaming. And I was dreaming it was my wedding day at Pontefract. And Lot woke me up. She said, Bet, will you wake up? She says, you've been gasping and crying and talking about Alan and one thing or another. She said, I can't stand it anymore. So do wake up. So I did. I said, oh, Lot, I've been dreaming about my wedding day. And I said, I saw Alan. And I said, I was at the altar and I was all in black. And my flowers were withered and dried up. I said, and he wasn't there. There was Sergeant Gardner there, who was the best man, and Alan Fisher, the groomsman. But the space was empty where Alan was stood with me. I said, I know, I think they've told me he's dead. I've had a message that he's gone. She said, you don't know. I said, oh, I'm sure. I couldn't eat any breakfast next morning. And they were going to go shopping and go to the library. And I said, I didn't want to go. She said, oh, yes, you are. You're not going to sit here and mope. You're coming with us. So they bullied me into getting ready. And as we were coming from the top veranda down to the lower floor, I saw the old telegraph boy. And he was old with a white beard. And he looked at me and he waved a telegram. He said, for you, Mem Saab, for you. And I sat on the stairs. I says, oh, Lot, I know what it is. She says, you don't. And she went, and I thanked him very much. The real old, just like Father Christmas. I said, please open it. And she did. Here, she says, read it. And it was from her husband. He was in Bareilly Hospital. He said, Alan arrived on the hospital train last night, badly bent but not broken, writing, curly. And he wrote and he said that he'd been informed, because he said, I had my scouts looking out every night he came to see if Alan could be on. He said, and this time he was. And he said, he's been shot through the shoulder. And he's been shot through the jaw. And he says they've